Good afternoon, everybody. This is the Liberty Lover, and I appreciate you coming back. This is the Shot Glass of Liberty podcast, and we are so happy to have you back for one more day. Today is 16 May, 2018, and today we're going to talk about something a little bit more exciting. The last couple of days, we've been discussing domestic policy and how that affects liberty, specifically sports betting and the Supreme Court ruling to legalize gambling in all 50 states. If you haven't checked that out, please go back and check that out. Thanks again for coming. Today, we're going to talk about something that is near and dear to my heart, because today we're going to start getting into, today we're going to start getting into foreign policy. As you know, I am an active duty Navy intelligence officer. I've worked in the geopolitical spectrum for a lot of my adult life, and geopolitics is absolutely fascinating. It's more than just what's going on in the world and how country X is responding to country Y. It's a very, very nuanced science. And man, I get really passionate talking about geopolitics. The discussion we're going to talk about today specifically is with North Korea. A couple weeks ago, things were looking rather rosy on the Korean Peninsula. We had North Korea and South Korea doing peace talks in late April. This was good stuff, but at the time I told everyone I knew, let's just temper expectations. Let's throttle back. Anytime North Korea comes out and says they want to denuclearize, that's a good thing, but they've been doing it for the last 33 years, actually. Actually, it was 1985. North Korea signed the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. That was a great thing. But then 7 years later, they signed a historic agreement to halt their nuclear program, and that was the first one. And then again in 94, and then again in 99, they signed another historic agreement that they were going to end their missile tests. They did this again in 2000, 05, 06, 07, three different times in 2010, 2011, 2012, 2015, and 2016. So really, they have a pattern of coming out and saying that they will sign historic agreements, that they will halt their nuclear program, that they will end their missile tests, or they support denuclearization on the Korean Peninsula. And every opportunity that they've come out and said this, the sitting United States president has been able to stand in front of the media and shake hands with whether that was Kim Jong-il or now Kim Jong-un, and basically claim victory that look what I've done. I've brought peace to the peninsula. So pardon me for not awarding President Trump the Nobel Peace Prize a couple of weeks ago. You likely have heard some of that talk in the media. I have a little bit more tempered expectations. Now, there were some positive signs that North Korean President Kim Jong-un and South Korean President Moon Jae-in, that it was a little bit different this time. We saw them shaking hands. We actually saw them do something a little different. They crossed over the DMZ, the demilitarized zone, and shake hands, a nice photo opportunity there. We saw them sit down and sign specific documents about uniting the Korean Peninsula. And of course, getting up from the boardroom and shaking hands and taking pictures with this. They also planted a pine tree inside the demilitarized zone and threw dirt on that pine tree from the North Korean area and from the South Korean area. So there were some positive signs of things that we hadn't seen yet. They put a couple new wrinkles in it. And so things were looking good until today. I see the article, North Korea cancels talks over South Korea over the U.S. military drills. So basically, North Korea has come out and said, you're sitting here, the United States and South Korea, right off our coast. You are conducting military drills. You're essentially practicing the invasion of North Korea right off our coastline, and we don't like that. I'm going to take a real quick break, and we're going to talk about these drills specifically, but we're also going to talk about what it actually means and what North Korea is doing. Give me one sec. I'll be right back. Thanks. Okay, and we're back. We were just left off. North Korea had canceled their talks, their upcoming talks this summer, because of South Korea and U.S. military drills. First off, I want to let you know that this is not a complete derailing of all the peace talks that we've had since late April. First and foremost, the United States and South Korea, we run drills all the time. Yes, North Korea can say that, you know, that we're practicing an invasion right off their coast, and they have some pretty good justification behind having those thoughts. But think of it from the military perspective. We run international joint drills all the time. What you don't want is for the U.S. to go to war with maybe say our allies, Italy, right? And we don't want to have to fight a war with our allies, you know, alongside our Italian counterparts and not ever have conducted drills together, right? We want to know that our pilots and their pilots can fly together. We want to know that we can conduct joint tasking together. And that we can share intelligence. So the fact that we're doing international joint drills, as a military, I will tell you, we do this with all of our allies. On the other side of that coin, we have a command in South Korea called USFK, U.S. Forces Korea. So why would we drill with Seoul? Why would we drill with South Korea? The only reason we would go to war with South Korea is to fight North Korea. So yeah, it's reasonable for North Korea to be offended when we're off their coast, you know, practicing doing these joint drills. What I will tell you is that geopolitics is very complex. So you can never just look at one thing and say, oh, that's the reason that North Korea doesn't like, you know, South Korea and Seoul ganging up on that. It's not just one thing. Because another article that I'd like to bring up is the CNBC article, and it says, ahead of proposed summit, North Korea rips Trump National Security Advisor John Bolton. Now, who is John Bolton? John Bolton is a neocon. John Bolton is the only – okay, first off, John Bolton is extremely articulate. And on foreign policy, you'll see him as one of the talking heads with his big old obnoxious white mustache. He's extremely articulate, but he's also the only person of senior majority, anyone of significance. He's the only person of significance that still thinks the Iraq war was awesome and the Iraq war was a great idea. And even though all the evidence that says there were weapons of mass destruction and humanitarian issues that made us go into the Iraq war, even though all that's been debunked, he still thinks it was a great idea. So that's John Bolton. John Bolton is a horrible person. That he is our national security advisor is definitely anti-liberty. All right. So I'm going to read from the article real quick. It says, after announcing early Wednesday that it was pulling out of high-level talks with Seoul because of a new round of U.S.-South Korean military exercises, the North took aim at Bolton and said it might have to reconsider whether to proceed with the summit between Trump and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un because it doubts how seriously Washington actually wants peaceful dialogue. So here's North Koreans coming out and saying, if your national security advisor is John Bolton, the guy who's never seen a war that he wasn't for, maybe we don't actually think you're very serious about a peaceful dialogue. Now, what I want to tell you is this is not an end all to the peace talks. And in fact, this is part of the peace talks. This is strategy. This is negotiations 101. You know, we always talk about Donald Trump as being the great negotiator. He knows that when you negotiate from a position of strength. Right. So North Korea has gotten everybody's hopes up. We have greased the skids for peace talks and they pull a little bit of the rug out from under us as well. I'm not even sure we're going to go through the peace talks. This gives them the position of strength. So this is not an end all to all the peace talks. This is likely going to be part of the negotiation between us and the United States back and forth. Just saw on the news this morning, South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham, Republican, also a chicken hawk, guy's never seen a war that he didn't approve of, came out and said, if North Korea doesn't go through with these talks, we will destroy them. So there's Lindsey Graham out there, you know, also part of this negotiation, also part of the strategy between the talks, between the countries. That's his submission to the cause. Thanks, Lindsey. Appreciate you. All right, so we're still having talks this summer. What I want to end with is, look, scary, but we're going to have President Donald Trump sitting across the table from North Korean President Kim Jong-un, and they will be discussing peace talks. And I hope somebody in the State Department will give President Trump some cue cards to read from so he doesn't mess this up. This is a good thing. Leaders should be talking. Leaders should be discussing peace. This is very important. I've got a couple different talking points that I hope President Trump, if you're listening, sir, you're my boss, please take these talking points and let's start here. First talking point. Look, we're not really quite sure that you're even serious about denuclearization, but we want to believe you. Okay, start here saying, look, already we're on shaky terms. You've always said this. We want to believe you, though. Second talking point. If you denuclearize, we will lift all sanctions and we will freely trade with your people. We will provide the North Korean market. We will bring you technology. We will bring you medicine. We will bring you nutrition. We will bring you a better quality of life. All right. And this is important because we know that the average man in North Korea is something like 5 inches shorter than the average man in South Korea. And it's only because their people are. They're living in abject poverty. These people are starving. Next talking point. President Kim Jong-un, we want you and we want South Korea to reconcile your relationship peacefully without U.S. intervention. We want to facilitate peace, and we are here to facilitate this process. But let's be clear, it is a peace between you and South Korea. Success or failure is yours alone. Right? So now we're removing the U.S. We're removing Donald Trump from the situation. We're not using this as a political, hey, let's get our picture taken and shake hands so that I can go back to my people and proclaim victory. Next talking point. President Kim Jong-un, lifting sanctions and opening up North Korea to the world would increase the quality of life of every North Korean citizen. And the history books will attribute this to you, right? So history will attribute all the peace that we're going to get here and all the open markets and all the nutrition and all the wealth and all the technology and all the great things that that your country will be flooded to. It will all be attributed to you, Kim Jong-un. Make no mistake, you will go down as a humanitarian hero, a man whose leadership changed the trajectory of a country and changed the livelihoods of millions, right? So right here, what we're doing is we're appealing to his ego. And this is important because every man, as you get into your middle ages and late ages, you start looking at your legacy. Next talking point. The United States will leave the Korean Peninsula once peace returns. Once they've unified, once they've denuclearized, once a true peace exists, the US is out of there. Because what North Korea sees when they look to the South is they see US military uniforms. So why would they denuclearize, right? We have to give them something. If they're going to legitimately denuclearize and open up their markets and open up themselves to inspections to ensure that they're denuclearized, we're out of there. This interventionist strategy that the US has come up with, we got to get out. Closing it up. Again, we don't really believe you, but we want to believe you because your citizens deserve humanity. People deserve to have enough nutrition to live. And that should be our goal in North Korea. Our goal in North Korea should not be to win an argument. It should not be to win the peace talks. It should not be to win a deal, President Trump. Now, I truly believe that the U.S. can assist with the facilitation of peace talks, but the ownership of this process has to be owned by both of the Koreas. Yeah, but part of the reason they've always failed is that the US leaders are looking for a simple handshake. Smile, photo op, come back home right before the midterm elections or right before the elections and claim victory. Politics. It's not good enough, right? Appealing to President Kim Jong-un's ego is quite a powerful bargaining position. If we're looking to win a deal, yes, we can approach this completely differently. If we care about liberty, if we care about the humanity of people, if we just want peace, it's time to go into these talks a little bit prepared. And hopefully, we're not just going over there to win a deal.
Hey guys and gals, that's it. Please subscribe and come back and see us. Also, go check out libertylol.com and follow some of our social media for more liberty news. Take care of yourself. Come back and see us. Peace out.